for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the Bible is saying the whole of creation is waiting for Christians to become disciplined, to become so that they can become sons, so that they can be trained in the things of the Spirit and God can use them. If you have a calling, it will not come without discipline. If you have a promise, it will not manifest without the discipline of the Lord upon your life. And because the discipline of God is upon your life, it means that you are legitimately sons and daughters of God. Are you guys with me? Like, I didn't come on a Sunday night for this nonsense. I came for prophecy. What is this? You know. But many people have become vagabonds. Because their roots are not founded in and they're not enduring discipline. They're not being rebukable. They're not allowing themselves to be begotten like a son. They're not allowing themselves. What is a disciple? It is a disciple comes to the word discipline. It is a disciple is somebody that goes through discipline and they live a disciplined life so that God can use them. God uses disciples, not Christians. Are you guys with me? Jesus says, if you cannot pick up your cross and deny your life and give up all things, you cannot be my disciple. So the Christian life is like, you know, people screaming, I want revival. I want revival. Revival will cost you everything. You're not ready for revival. It'll cost you everything because it'll cost you your family. It'll cost you your job. It'll cost you your time, your energy. Once revival is being poured out. So no discipline is easy during the time, but it produces and yields peaceable fruits of. So what happens if I don't discipline? What happens? An Ishmael is being born. If I'm not living a disciplined life, submissive, teachable, humble, I am birthing an Ishmael and everything I do is not recognized by God. Meaning in the day of judgment, it will burn up in front of the Lord. And only you will be saved, just having no rewards because something was birthed out of the flesh. Are you guys with me? A promise can be birthed out of the flesh. A business can be birthed out of the flesh. What is it when it's birthed out of the flesh? You toil and toil. So Sabbath is self-driven. Ishmael makes you self-driven. Ishmael will cause strife in your life. Strife it's like everywhere there's just problems. This relationship is a problem. Then that one is a problem. Then this one is a problem. What is lacking? The peace of God. And we'll prophesy now. I'm going to minister to some now. I just want to get through this. Ishmael will mock Isaac in your life. Ishmael will come by much toil and force you to toil in order to produce. Ishmael is always a counterfeit of what God wants for you. Ishmael will cause you to never be satisfied and just want more. Paul says, I am content with little and I'm content with much. Ishmael is born out of offense. Like I said, Ishmael is born out of rebellion. Ishmael is born because self is not dead. Ishmael is deceptive because it looks like God's promise can come to pass through it. It looks like this is it. I'm going to become famous by this. Ishmael is settling for less than what God has for you. Let me get to, I want to get to Isaac. So with Isaac. So Isaac is the only son that God recognizes. He doesn't recognize Ishmael. Abraham had Ishmael and God is saying, take your only son, Isaac, and worship and go up to the mountain. Meaning it is only an Isaac that can get to the top of the mountain. And he says, when you get there, the Bible says when they were on top of the mountain, that when Abraham looked, he saw a ram caught in the thicket. That is provision for the sacrifice. So an Isaac will bring your provision. And Isaac is the only one that is recognized as a son of Abraham, as a son of the Spirit. Isaac comes with ease. Say with you, with ease. Say without toil. It means that, you know, when we were about to purchase land for the ministry, and we found a great land, a great piece of land. It was a little bit far out for Centurion. Now it was a little bit far out, like 20 kilometers, 21 kilometers. I mean, you might as well just go plant in Mendelin. And, you know, it was a great piece of land, a lot of money. And we did everything. We signed everything. We did everything. And we got to the last deal. Well, I hope it is canceled, but we haven't signed the last documents either. Okay, so just before we were supposed to do it, the Lord put something in me and says, "This is not it." He spoke to the team, and it was beautiful. When I say it's like, it was beautiful, but it was not God. So it was attractive, it was beautiful, but something in me sensed there's toil here, there's not ease. Meaning now we have to pay probably 15 million extra on top of it, minimum, for roads and water tunnels and all this nonsense and, you know, and rights. And then you don't even know if you're going to be able to build within 8 years from that point, because it was all on the promises if other things come up around and all this stuff. And I'm like, but this is not God. When God gives you something, He gives it complete. He doesn't give it half. You know, we're not expecting land for free, but there shouldn't be toil to this thing. When the blessing comes, it comes with ease. There's hard work, but it comes with ease, meaning it is the blessing of the Lord. I wish South Africa will still enter into the prosperity that America, or the generosity that America is in. You know, I was speaking to somebody, they were telling me about this young minister in the United States. I'm not going to mention his name, but how something happened with the ministry, something, and they had to close it down. And another businessman thought, let me give you $60 million building for them. And they got given a $60 million building. And that was 2 years ago. And but it's the generosity. But that you have in the States. In South Africa, you have so much greed and competition. People love money too much in South Africa, yet they think they hate it. When I love money, people think that people love money and they think they hate it, because loving money will cause poverty to come to you. It will cause you to hold on to it, where God wants you to become generous, because the kingdom principle is generosity. That is it. That is how, the way we get blessed in the kingdom is by being generous. You know, I thought to myself, it was last night, I looked at my monies and I thought, okay, I'm going to need so much in the next 10 years, about 150 million or so. I'm joking. But for the church, yeah, but for myself, I was just looking at a figure to survive, or to kind of like, you know, you want to be blessed in someone. I'm like, man, I'm never going to get to there in 10 years. Never. Like, how is that possible? I have to save so much, and then that's not even going to get there. Then I have to do a lot of other things. And then God said to me, where were you 10 years ago? And I looked at the figure that I had 10 years. Well, I didn't have a figure 10 years ago. I had zero. And the grace, the gratitude and the fear of God came on me, because there's absolutely nothing I did to deserve what I have. Even if I have to, even if it has to be taken away today, I never deserved it in the beginning. And a lot of people wonder why the glory of God has left churches. Why Ichabod has come into churches, which is where the glory lives. It's because people lose the goodness, the gratitude of God. the generosity of God. They lose the fear of God. They are able to just, you know, they get to a place where they begin to mock the things of God. The Bible says when Ishmael was born, and then Isaac got born, Ishmael began to mock Isaac. So Ishmael, when Ishmael is birthed in a person's life, they begin to mock the things of the spirits. It is a bad place to be. But then I thought to myself, where I was and where God took me from. And I said, but God, how can I not give you my whole life? How can I not serve you my whole life? I mean, even if you haven't blessed me, just the fact that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, just the fact that you saved me, not even if you have blessed me, even if you won't bless me, just that I am saved means I have to worship you. I owe you my whole life. Everything is yours. And we lose a gratitude for the glory and the fear of God. And we become ungrateful. So I looked at this figure and the Lord said to me, look at where I've taken you from. So if you look at what you had and what you have now 10 years later, imagine what you can have 10 years from now. Not that we're running off to success, just when you allow God to come into the mix. And a lot of people try to push themselves into a thing and they miss that blessing of the Lord. Are you guys with me? I don't care if you're 50 years old or if you're 60 years old, or you say, Leon, but you know, my time is over. You know, I've had my time. No, Abraham was hundreds and the son of his promise was born. It doesn't matter when it comes to age. You can think my life is over. I am too old. The promise of God, when something is born of the Spirit, what would have taken you 10 years will take you 1 year. If it is born of the Spirit, ordained of God, blessed of God, when the touch of God is on it, when the anointing of the Spirit is on it. Are you guys with me? Let God touch your life. Let Him bless your work. Let Him bless your life. Let Him bless the promise. Listen to me. What you will toil for 10, 15, 20 years. So it doesn't matter if you're 60. It doesn't matter if you're 70. You can experience the promise in 1 year. Are you guys with me? What taken Ishmael 30 years as he grew up, nothing happened in his life. When Isaac was born, God is saying, my covenant is in him. I have established my covenant in this 1 year. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Have your seats. So, how do I enter this promise? I want to get to something still. So let me just say this: Isaac will be with ease and without toil. Isaac is the one where God's covenant is established in. Isaac is seen as the impossibility of man by man, meaning that it is only God. When people look at you, it must not be like you can do this. When people look at you, when your Isaac is truly living, they'll be like, there's no way that you can do this. There's no way by your own ability, by your own strength, that you can bring this to pass. Are you guys with me? How do I enter this promise? Say with me, patience. Say it again. Say patience. You know, I want to get to a scripture here. But people have become impatient, like Abram and Sarah, and they want to do something and make the will of God come to pass. Let me just see if I can find something here. Go with me to Exodus chapter number 3. I think it is 3. Let me just look here. Yes, Exodus chapter number 3, verse 1. Put it on the screen for me. I'm going to close off with this as we get into that. I want to begin to minister to you. You know, the pressure that comes upon people to perform and then causes them to become impatient because they have associations that is trying to tell them, but you must do this, you must do that. And the moment I begin to compare myself, it is the death of what God has for me. The moment I compare myself to somebody else's business or somebody else's ministry, if I have to compare myself to another ministry, I have, let's say, a friend of mine in ministry, and they might have a huge church. But they've been going for 25 years, inherited the church. There is no way, if I put to myself, if I compare myself, and I think, but why am I not where they are at? It will become unhealthy, unbalanced. And I'll become self-condemning, self-critical, self-judgmental. So there's a healthy comparison and an unhealthy comparison. There's a comparison that can encourage and motivate you. And then there's a comparison that is just unhealthy and it'll destroy, it'll remove peace from you instantly. Are you guys with me? Say with you the peace of God. So what will discipline and the rebuking of God bring? And being in the perfect will of God, meaning the way I get out of the permissible will into the perfect will is by one thing and one thing only. Say with me, the discipline of the Lord. It is what shifts me out of the permissible will and puts me in the perfect will. What protects a child from running across the street or a child from making wrong decisions? Beating them. Sorry, disciplining them. I didn't say beat, don't worry. I'm just joking. But in some cultures, they'll slap you, beat you up. And when the child is grown up, they'll say, I thank God that I was disciplined. And when the other child that's never been disciplined grows up, begins to curse their parents for not disciplining them. Ends up in prison. Are you guys with me? Say with you the fear of God. I want you to read this. Now Moses, let me sort this. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. So the bush wasn't only burning. There was an angel standing in the midst of a bush. And he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burning. And when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here am I. Next verse, listen to this. And he said, draw not closer, meaning stay where you are at, Moses. First take your shoes off your feet, for the place where you stand on is holy ground. Next verse. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Say with him, Moses hid his face. Why did he hide himself? Listen. This is something that is happening in Moses' life that shifted him from out of God's will into the perfect will of God. He was running on the backside of the desert. He just murdered an Egyptian, running away from Egypt as a fugitive on the backside of the desert, running away, not knowing God, coming out, being a Jew, but coming out of black or dark magic arts of Egypt, coming out of royalty in Egypt, running away as a fugitive. And yet he encounters God at a burning bush, seeing the angel of the Lord standing there. And God is saying to him, do not take a step forward. Meaning what God was saying to him, in the Hebraic image and language, he says, Moses, if you take a step forward, you will die. Meaning there's a holiness level that I'm revealing to you, but I'm taking and I'm chastening you. What happened here to Moses? It was a discipline and a chastening that came on him. Because the Bible says he hid his face from the Lord, meaning that his sin became apparent and he could not look at the angel because of the sin that was in his heart. He saw the fear of God coming in that place and he realized he was standing on holy ground, but he hid himself. And he was afraid to look upon God. Are you guys with him? Say with you, the fear of the Lord. So people are lacking the fear of God. Moses knew, first of all, when he was walking and he saw the bush and he saw a man was standing in the midst of the bush and he tried to look in deeper. And when God's voice spoke, something reverberated in him. But it was at this moment where the Lord shifted him into the perfect will. How many ministries have I seen that is lost? Or how many ministers? Do you know in a church like this, there are maybe 80% that are called, 70% that are called into ministries, 70%. But the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. So there's characteristics that takes you from the called to the chosen. There's something that moves a person from being called. Being called is nothing special. We are all called a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are called of God. The calling is not special. It is those who step into a place of being chosen that are saying, I want to give, I want to go through character shaping. I want to carry the fear of the Lord. I want to carry holiness. I want to become rebukable and be disciplined and chastised by the Lord so that I can receive the peace of God. I can receive holiness. I can receive the fear of God so that I can be shifted into His perfect will. Meaning Moses adapted a characteristic upon him that caused God to move him from the permissible will into the perfect will. And he said, now you will take and you'll go to Pharaoh, the one that you are running away from. Meaning Moses, in your permissible will, or in the when you were out of the will of God, you were running from a man that was trying to kill you. But when you're in the perfect will, death cannot touch you. When you're in the perfect will, I will allow you to face and go back to the one that is hunting you. And the hunter will become the hunted. When the perfect will comes upon your life, meaning the enemy that is trying to take you out will become the hunted. I will cause you to face your enemy. I'll build the table and set a table for you in the presence of the Lord. When you have patience, you see, people don't have patience and they don't allow God to build a table in the presence of their enemies. When you carry the fear of God, when you carry patience, when you are in the perfect will of God, you allow and give God the time to build and set a table for you in the presence of your enemies. It might look like you are hidden away. It might look like, but nobody is seeing you. Nobody is celebrating you. No. He's preparing you. He's shaping your character so that when the day comes, when you can carry His glory, you will be broadcasted to the world. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. People settle for the local, for something small. Yet God is saying, I want to broadcast your business. I want to broadcast your fame. I want to broadcast your ministry to the world. But it requires time. It requires patience. Are you guys with me? Listen here, patience. Say with you, faith. Have you seen? Say faith and patience. it's the only way you can enter into the promise. Meaning the promise does not come without faith and patience. It doesn't. The moment I remove patience, which is Abraham, Sarah, Abraham, faith, patience, Sarah, Abraham, faith, grace, Sarah. I remove Sarah and I replace her with the law. Meaning I remove patience and I put my self-will in. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to build my ministry. You will build your ministry and you will curse God in 3 years, 4 years, saying, lift this burden from me. This is not of you. This is not the blessing of God. Because it's Ishmael that was birthed. You will pray to God for deliverance from the blessing that you once asked Him for. And the blessing will become a curse. But if faith and patience is in you, and you say, I'm yielding to the Lord, to the discipline of the Lord, I need as many rebukes. I need to be trained in the rebukings of the Lord. I need to be trained in the discipline of God. Are you guys with me? The other day I phoned somebody and I rebuked them very hard. I rebuked them very hard. And I didn't hear it beforehand. I thought, I feel so sorry for the person. What if they leave? What if this? And I couldn't care 2 cents. Because I was doing what God is. I was doing my duty. If I wouldn't do that, a parent that doesn't discipline their child is the worst type of parent. Sorry. Because you're setting the child up for failure. And so it is in the spirit. So, and I thought, okay, I'm going to phone this person. As much as I love them as a son, I'm going to rebuke them hard. And I rebuke them hard. But because they were trained in rebukings, I'm going to say it again. Because they are trained in rebukings, and obviously it was Pastor Chris. but because they were trained in rebukings, they could receive it. You know, we sit sometimes with people in the office and they're like, you know, 2 years ago, you did this. And you know, I'm leaving your church because 2 years ago this happened. So you know exactly why you're leaving. You know you're taking offense. You know you're in rebellion. What do you want me to say? No, no, no. What is God saying? You're in rebellion. I mean, I don't even have to say it. I said it to somebody recently. The thing is, the society that we're living in is birthing a seed of rebellion. Because we're watching TV, we're watching this, we're watching the liberals here, we're watching that, we're seeing this, we're watching movies that are programmed to destroy your kids and destroy you, programmed with a language to come in to destroy and birth a seed that is anti-Christ, anti-God in everything. Are you guys with me? So I found this person, I rebuked them, but because they are trained in rebukings, they could receive it properly and God could save them from something. You know, I once said, somebody asked me the question, I also asked the question to the Lord. Somebody said to me, but you know, I can't find a church who has a spiritual father also who they submit to. I said, God never instructed that in Scripture. God said submit. He didn't say go submit to whom is submitting to someone else. He said submit. Imagine Alan's kids say, I'm not living by you because you're not liking your parents anymore. I'm leaving you. It's unnatural. But yet we bring those things into the kingdom. Are you guys with me? The Bible says simply even submit to an evil government. It says submit to an evil government. And it even says that God put them in place. So God put Mugabe in place. For all those who ran, I'm sorry. But that's what the scripture is saying. They'll give an account for what they've done. But there's no president, no ruler that comes into place without an archangel, without a principality that is working directly with them. An angelic principality. Meaning if you look at somebody like Trump, or you look at somebody like our president, or you look at somebody, there is not an angel that is working with them like a normal believer. A principality has been given to them. That is why they are protected, or when you're around them, you'll feel like a certain fear come on you. Because there's a principality that is standing with them, that is operating with them. And that principality is not a devil. It is an angel principality. Are you guys with me? Okay. And obviously this can be misunderstood on live stream. I'm not too worried about that. Say with me, the fear of God. So Moses stood, and the fear of the Lord. The Lord is saying, you're standing on holy ground, Moses. And the fear of the Lord began to come in. And because the fear of God came in, he experienced the fire of the Holy Spirit, or the fire of God, the fire of his presence. And God could empower him to go back to Pharaoh. The one that tried to kill him, God empowered him to get back to there and go and confront him. Because once you are in the perfect will and you're born of the Spirit, nothing can touch you. Are you guys with me? Nothing can touch you. You know, you're in a country where you need the grace of God. I want you all just to close your eyes. Just focus on him. Just close your eyes. Just sing a worship song. La ruska abreke denoska takere. With the living God to stand in your presence and say, here I am. I need a God, the living God, to be face to face with the great I am. With the great.
Oh,
que te le break me no stay. And I to pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, don't remove the fear of God, the fire of God, your presence. Give me a hunger for your presence, a hunger for your glory. Make my heart like a child's. Remove the hardness. I repent right now for any hardness of heart. In Jesus' name. For I repent right now for any rebellion, rejection, having a hard heart, an obstinate heart. Remove the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. I heal to you. I submit to you. Work in my life. Discipline my life. Bring the peace of God. Let me have a revelation of the holiness of your presence. Let your glory saturate this place, Father. Let the anointing be tangible upon your people.